All right, so we are in Isaiah 7 today. Before we start, I wonder if there's any time that you said, well, all we can do is pray. And, you know, last night when I came and I was getting ready to do the service, and if you looked on the weather forecast, it said it was going to start snowing at 8 o'clock this morning. And we prayed as a church last night that it would stay away till after lunchtime today, and it's not supposed to start, I think, till like 1 or 1:30. And I know all we could do is pray, but I believe God listens, and I asked him to take away everybody's excuse to come to church. So I think he's working on it, you know, and I'm glad he didn't take me out of the pulpit for that reason. But anyway, we're ready to go. So Isaiah chapter 7, all right, I am going to read the first 14 verses. The title is God with Us. And I wonder if you have ever seen the prophecy from Isaiah. It's on a Christmas card. And he says, behold, a virgin will conceive. And I wonder if you've ever looked at the context of when Isaiah was speaking that verse. All right? It's quoted again in Matthew. We'll read both places, but I'm going to read the first 14 verses of Isaiah chapter 7. And what I want to remind you before that is the last verse of chapter 6. Isaiah has been told that Israel is going to be punished, that because they've worshipped so many false gods, because they've done so many bad things, that only a tenth will remain in the land. In other words, everybody, 90% of Israel, and I believe even Judah, will be taken out of the land of Israel. A tenth will be left. And he says the holy seed will be a stump in the land. The good news is the holy seed, the seed of David, the line of David, would be a stump, and God wasn't going to completely wipe it out. So on the heels of that text, we begin to read, when Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stumps of firewood. Because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah, Aram and Ephraim and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. I'm going to stop there. Father, come in the precious name of Jesus. Guide us, Lord. Help us to see the context so we understand the text, and then help us to apply it to today. In Jesus' name, amen. Your first point, Ahaz and Jerusalem were shaken by enemy threats. You see, Israel was in the middle of this civil war. The tribe of Judah was in Jerusalem. The house of David was here, and the other tribes had split off. That was Israel. That's when he talks and he says Ephraim. He's talking about those tribes, and they're in this civil war. And they've come up against Judah, and they try to take Jerusalem, but it says they can't take it. They had already gotten into the rest of the land. They had taken control of certain places in Israel, but they couldn't take the capital. They couldn't take Judah. It's Mount Zion. It's on a hill. It's easier to defend. They could not overcome it. But now they hear the rumors, and they hear that, you know, they've all gotten together, their enemies, and they're going to come against Israel. And I want to stop there, and I'm going to say, does it sound like anything you might hear today? But it says that they were shaken. What does it take to shake you? You know, if you went to a Black Friday sale, I hope you didn't, and you got there at midnight, and you waited till they opened the doors, you know, and if you got there and there were 100 of those big TVs and you were 101, did it shake you? See, you can lose your blessing. It can ruin your day. Now, this was very serious. They were saying, we're going to attack. We're going to wipe you out. We're going to take you over. And it says the people were shaken. Look at your next point. Isaiah and his son are sent to speak calming truth to Ahaz. Calming truth to Ahaz. Verse 3, then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, and meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct, the upper pool, the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, now listen, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. That's what God thinks about your enemies. The name of his son, Shear Jashub, means a remnant remains. When he had his first child with this lady, God said, you name him this name because it means a remnant remains. I won't wipe you out completely, but judgment's coming. He says, now you go meet him. And they spoke calming truth to Ahaz. Do you know that a word from God will be calming truth even if you're in for a tough time? Sometimes God doesn't stop you from going through a troublesome time, but he will calm you during that time. You see, the biggest misconception in Christianity is once you give your heart to Christ, nothing bad will ever happen. That's all wrong, church. When you give your heart to Jesus and something bad happens, you have someone to lean on. You have someone to trust. You have the help of the Holy Spirit to get you through the difficult time. And so Isaiah comes and Isaiah says, hey, keep calm. Don't be afraid. You heard what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, this is not going to happen. They're not going to defeat you. You don't have to worry. I worry about so much stuff I didn't have to worry about. When you look back at it, you're like, why did that bother me so much? And so he sends Isaiah and he sends his son and he speaks this calming truth. Now look at verse 9. The end of verse 9. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Here's the point. Faithless humans cannot stand. See, everybody has faith in someone or something. Do you know that? If you don't put your faith in God, the one true God, you will not stand. I witnessed to people recently who kept telling me that all the Christians ever say to them is, you don't have faith. And I said, you didn't hear me say that to you, did you? And they said, no, you didn't say that to us. And I said, you know why? Because I know you have faith in someone or something. It may or may not be the one true God, but you have faith. You put your faith and trust in someone or something. It might be a green dollar bill, but you put your faith in something. Faithless humans, if you do not have faith in God, you will not stand, folks. How's your faith today? Who are you trusting in? It's really important today that we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, things are crazy in this world right now. And Ahaz and all of Israel, or Judah, you know, all of Jerusalem are afraid right now. It says they're shaking. Do you know that Scripture says everything that can be shaken will be shaken? That's what's coming. Aren't you glad you came for the news this morning? It literally says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So let's get rid of all the stuff that can be shaken and let's stand on a solid rock named Jesus and be unshakable. Because you can't stand if you're faithless. Here we go. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Now listen, he's speaking through Isaiah. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. Here's your point. Ahaz is offered a chance of a lifetime. Could you imagine if the prophet came to you and said to you, ask for whatever you want, a sign in the highest heavens or in the deepest depths or anything in between. Ahaz, ask for whatever you want. My little grandson, Clay, slept overnight at our house, and the next morning, boy, it's great. He woke up. He read me Isaiah. He read me Isaiah chapter 7. I couldn't believe how good a second grader could read to me. And he read it to me, and we were talking, and then he says to me, he says, Grandpa, if you could have two of anything you want, what would it be? He said, it can be make-believe, Grandpa. Whatever you want, what would it be? And I thought about it for a while. I didn't want to give him a hokey answer, you know? And I said, Clay, I'd like a new right and left shoulder. Grandpa, he said, I'm talking about stuff. I said, Clay, what would you like? I'd like a dragon that I could ride that shoots lightning bolts. That'd be a sign. The interesting thing to me is Ahaz could have asked for a dragon that he could ride that shoots lightning bolts and God would have done it. See, what was God's purpose? God's purpose here was to prove to Ahaz that he was with him. He was giving Ahaz a chance of a lifetime, church, to know that he is who he says he is and that he will do whatever he said he would do, which was keep these enemies at bay. And he wanted to prove it to him. And he said, ask for a sign. What would you ask for if God said to you, ask for a sign? Mount Zion, ask for a sign. What would it take? See? I've had a lot more time to think about this than you have, but I pray today you'll think about that. What would you ask God for? You know what I think the best example in Scripture is? I think the best example is Moses, when Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. Whew. Could you imagine? Ahaz had a chance to say, God, I want to see you. I want to know you. He blew it, church. Look at your next point. Ahaz fakes a pious answer, but Ahaz said, verse 12, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Oh man, that sounded so spiritual. I won't put the Lord, my God, to the test. Quoted Scripture. But his heart was all wrong. Look at your next point. God and Isaiah cannot be fooled. You can't fool God. You can tell me you're saved today, and if you're not saved, God knows. See, you can say all the right things, but God knows your heart. And listen to Isaiah, verse 13. Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David." Here's the other thing. Notice how he describes him and how he addresses Ahaz. "You house of David." Why? Because the holy seed of Jesus is in this guy. And he says, "Listen. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans?" I want to stop there. You know what he's saying? He's saying, "Ahaz, you are testing me. I want you to know that the prophets weren't like meek, mild little, 'Hi, how are you guys?' They came with a trombone going, 'This is what the Lord says.'" And he says, "Is it enough to test me? You're trying my patience, Ahaz." And then he goes on, "Will you try the patience of my God also?" You had the chance of a lifetime, Ahaz, and you blew it. Look at your next point. Ahaz has faith in a pagan god and a pagan king. You're going to have to do the homework on this. It's 2 Kings chapter 16. The float has to do with Whoville. That's from the Grinch who stole Christmas. Everybody know that? I'm going to quote him this morning. The Grinch who stole Christmas is up here looking at the names of all the people in Whoville, and he goes, "Hate, hate, 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 hate." And then he sees a name and he goes, "Loathe. I loathe Ahaz." You know what you're going to read? 2 Kings chapter 16. You're going to read that Ahaz threw his child in the fire. You see the point? Ahaz has faith in a pagan god. You know why he didn't ask God for a sign? He said, "Well, I don't want to test the Lord my God." It's because he had already gone to see the king of Assyria, and he had taken gold and silver and precious things out of the temple and given it to him and said, "You come and be my ally and help me wipe out my enemies who said they're going to take over." When he went to see the king of Assyria, it'll tell you this in 2 Kings chapter 16. He saw an altar up to a pagan god that he built, and he liked the altar. So he drew a picture of it, and he sent it back to his priest in Jerusalem, Uriah, and he said, "Build me this altar." And he built him the altar, and then he came back, and he started to offer sacrifices on the altar in Jerusalem, in the temple. So he said, "Well, I won't test the Lord my God." What he was really saying is, "I don't believe in him. I don't follow him. I'm not going to do what he says. Isaiah, you can say all you want. He can give me all the signs. I am faithless when it comes to the one true God." But you see, it won't stop God. Verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." He says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Listen to the point. I love this point. Isaiah speaks an everlasting event and a Christmas card into existence, folks. How many times have you seen on a Christmas card, "And a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son"? Year after year, millions after millions. I wonder if they know what they're reading. And God says, "I'm going to give you a sign." Even though you're going to be whittled down to where there's only 10% of the holy seed left, he says, "I will be with you." You. Matthew chapter 1. Everybody relax. We're through all the begats. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. You see how he addresses him? Hey, Joseph. Son of David, you sprouted from the holy stump back in Isaiah chapter 6. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, all this took place. Why? To fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the midst of tragedy, with an evil king, God says, I'm going to speak a sign. I'm going to show you a sign here. Now, I got to tell you a little about this history, because in chapter 8 of Isaiah, it says that Isaiah went home and made love to his wife. She had a child. When you read the commentaries, they say some of what goes on in this chapter refers to that child. And he says before that child by the time he's eating curds and honey, it says, the two nations that are coming against you will be wiped out. Isn't that something? You know what happened? Within 3 years of this prophecy, the Assyrian king came and wiped out Israel and Aram and took over. Isn't that something, how God knows what's going on? And then all of us know the prophecy was spoken for what we're celebrating during this season, and that is Jesus was born to a virgin named Mary from the holy seed of David. Whew. You're ready for the next point? I love this point. The sign still exists. Folks, God put a sign out there. He spoke it through the prophet Isaiah 600 years before it came to pass. And then Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary to save us from our sins so that God can be with us. And you know what? There's not a human being in the world that can say, God doesn't know what I'm going through, because Jesus came here and he went through life so we could know how to live. God with us. It's not because of anything we did. It's because of who God is. And he said, Ahaz, in the midst of this terrible situation, you and your faithlessness and just trying to wipe out the holy seed, I'm not going to let it happen. A virgin will conceive. And folks, every time you wonder, you have to stop and say, who's this Jesus guy? He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead so we can be free. The sign is still here, folks. It's what we celebrate this Christmas season. He's the greatest gift that's ever been given to any man. When you buy the gift and when you wrap the gift and when you give it away, it's in honor of what Jesus Christ, what the Father did by giving us the gift of his Son so that we can be set free. You're celebrating the sign every time you give somebody a gift. When you wrap it, remember they wrapped Jesus. It says they wrapped him in swaddling cloth when he was born. When you do it in honor and in memory of the most awesome sign that God said, I'm going to give you a sign. Here it is, church. It's amazing. Next point, no weapon formed against us will prosper when God is with us. Isn't that what he was trying to say to Ahaz? Ahaz, you got all these armies coming against you. Everybody's coming against you. Be careful, stay calm. Really, you know what he was saying? He was saying, don't go to Assyria. You don't need to go somewhere else for help. I'm here, God said. I'm going to take care of you. I sent my prophet. Just stay calm. In today's language, God said, I got this, Ahaz. Don't worry. Don't worry. In Isaiah 54, it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. So I want you to say this, if you can put it up there for me, Jeff. Put that point up there. Are you ready? Let's say it together. Ready? No weapon formed against us will prosper when God is with us. Amen. See, church, who's with you? Who are you counting on for help? What are you calling out for, and to whom are you calling out? I wonder if Isaiah had any idea what he was saying that day was going to be plastered all over the world for thousands and thousands of years, sent out in cards. Behold, a virgin will conceive. Last point, have things really changed? I look at this, Jerusalem was under siege. That's when this was written. That's when the sign came. Jerusalem was being attacked, and it was going to be taken over. When Jesus was born, they were under Roman rule. Scribes and the Pharisees did everything they could to wipe out the holy seed, to get rid of Jesus. It says over and over, they plotted to kill him. There's no way they can wipe out God's will. The only reason Jesus allowed them to put him on the cross was to set us free, church. Down through the ages, look at Israel. There's always somebody against them. Always come. Right now, the nations around them say we're going to wipe them out. We're going to push them into the sea. We're going to get rid of them, right? They're worried about nuclear threat all the time because their enemies have nuclear power. I think the enemy needs to look at the sign. They're not going to lose, church. God's not going to give them up. But Jesus is going to come back again, isn't he? I hope I get to ride with him on that day. I think we won't fall off that horse. And we're going to be riding with the armies of heaven, church. And he's going to come back and he's going to take over. And it's the same thing. They're going to come against Israel and they're going to wipe them out. And it says the sword out of God's mouth is going to take them out. You know what that means? It means Jesus is going to say, stop, you're done, they're done. It's his word. It's his word, church. So I don't know exactly what you're going through today, but this is what God wants to tell you. If you will submit to him, don't be like Ahaz. Man, I had to quit reading about that guy because I just got oh. Then you know what I realized? I don't know if I'm any better than he is. There are so many temptations out there. There are so many things that will draw you away. And I'm telling you, don't go the way he went. Don't be obstinate. Don't hold God at bay. If you're in here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, don't let it be this way another day. Surrender. You know, Ahaz only lived about 37 years. He was 20. He was 21, I think, when he became king. And it says he reigned 16 years and he rested with his father. life expectancy wasn't good for the king back then. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, don't stand back and put your hand up and push God away, because God came to be with you. He came to be with us, church. So whatever you're going through today, first and foremost, surrender to Jesus. Call him your Lord and your Savior. Let him know that you believe he died on the cross for you and rose from the dead, and ask him to forgive you of your sins. If you've never done it, you're going to have the best Christmas in the world after you do it. I remember the first Christmas after I opened my heart to Christ. It was the most awesome thing in the world. I knew what the heck was going on and why we were celebrating. So, Father, you know the situation of every person in here, and help us to understand today that no weapon formed against us can prosper if God is with us. Holy Spirit, come and search our hearts today. And Lord, I ask you to expunge that attitude and that spirit that was in Ahaz out of your church today and out of us. And Lord, help us to understand the sign. Help us to accept the sign. His name is Jesus. Help us to call on his name. It's the name above all names. Every knee in heaven, on the earth, and below the earth has to bow at the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us to count on this sign. And help us to celebrate Christmas this year like we've never done it before. Every time we see, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to celebrate Christmas, knowing what it means and what the sign is all about. In Jesus' name, amen.